Welcome, and thank you for joining us today for There Is a Hope, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Mark Howard, pastor of Christ Community Church in Bells, Tennessee. These next few minutes could very well be a divine appointment the Lord has for your life, as you hear what He has to say to you personally, and as you trust in the hope that He offers to you in Jesus Christ. And now, let's join Dr. Howard as he shares God's Word with us today.
And welcome into another teaching time here on There Is a Hope podcast. Let me ask you at the outset, how would you like to be around someone who, when you listen to them talk, they're so filled with the love of the Lord, and they are so enthralled when they get to spend time with Him and His Word, that they would say things like this: "Oh, how I love your law, your word, your direction, your instruction. Oh, how I love it, Lord. It's my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my own enemies, for they're ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet, my steps from every evil way, that I may keep your word. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." What would it be like to be around someone who is so in love with what God speaks to them out of His word, that they just radiate in their lives that love and passion for Him? And so, as the psalmist says, "I have restrained my feet. I have guarded and prohibited and withheld my feet from every evil way, so I can keep your word." Hey, I've got some good news for you. You don't just need to wait around to pray and to hope that one day you can be around someone that lives like that. You have the blessed privilege of being that person that could be a witness for Christ, because your heart is beating, racing inside of you, because things are changing in your life day by day, because you are pursuing the Lord and you're listening intently to what He says to you in His Word and how He speaks to you deep in your spirit. You could be that person, and not just be that person that's waiting around the corner for someone to come around and talk to you like that. Well, that's where we're going to be today on There's a Hope podcast. Welcome in. My name is Mark Howard. We're right back into the Word of God. And of course, as they did in the synagogue back during Jesus's day, during the teaching time, people were always given the opportunity to ask questions. And if you know anything about There's a Hope podcast, we ask a lot of questions because questions cause us to think. So here's some questions for today as we get started together. Who is God to you personally? I'll ask it again. Who is God to you personally? I mean, if you were to pause this podcast right at this moment and seriously think about that question, how would you respond? What words would you use to answer such a question? Question number two, does your answer to this question ever change? Or do you find yourself having to add things to your answer? Or do you just find yourself remaining the same old in your answer all the time? You're just stuck week in and week out. Are you any closer to knowing the Lord better today as compared to this time last week? You see, if you and I were to journey through the Scripture from the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible, you would read the experiences men and women and different people groups had in the Lord revealing Himself to them. So when you come to the end of Revelation 22:21, which is the last verse in the Bible, I've got some good news for you today. The Lord is still revealing Himself to individuals, even right now, as we're together. I happen to have an app that I use almost every day that helps me in the study of the Scripture. And I can tell you what that app is right now. It's called blueletterbible.org. It's a wealth of study aids to help and assist us in understanding the meaning of words and phrases and sentences and paragraphs and chapters and books of the Bible. If you've never looked at that website, you ought to. But the other day when I opened up the website to use it, there was a map that popped up. In fact, it was early last Sunday morning when I opened up the app to look up a word, and there was a map, and it showed me how many people around the world. Now, it had a picture of all the countries in the world. It showed me how many people were utilizing that app in studying the Word of God and reading through the Word of God at that very moment. It so blessed my life to see that taking place. So don't think that you would be an odd person that's really hungering and thirsting to know God, that you would be the Lone Ranger out there. There are many people who every day are pursuing Him. And that one app just gave me an indication of what was going on around the world. When we think all is dark, no, there are rays of light that are flickering everywhere. So I want us today to look at the subject of God is. Enough said. That's right. God is. Enough said. Now, some of you might be asking today, Mark, how would I know what to listen for or what to look at or what to read in order to grow in my seeking to know the Lord? You might be thinking out of the last 4 or 5 weeks that we've been together, looking into the scripture about the importance, the greatest purpose that we can ever have in our life, to know God. How would you go about doing that? Is that even something the Bible says that it's possible to do? Well, if you're thinking that question, I want to applaud you because you're thinking the question that many people are asking today. How would I get started? And does the Bible even talk about how the Lord truly wants me to know Him? Where can we find an answer to that? Well, one book I think about is over in 2 Peter. And if you look at the last chapter of 2 Peter, you say, where's 2 Peter? Right after 1 Peter, and it's right before 1 John. Hey, let me challenge you with something. Because when we hear someone open the Bible and begin to do a teaching, sometimes we have trouble finding the passage because we have no clue and where they're even located in the Word of God. There are 39 books in the Old Testament, and there are 27 books in the New Testament. Now, this is something my mother helped me with when I was very young in life. She helped me learn the books of the Bible. There are a lot of things I can thank my mother for, but that's probably at the top of the list. She taught me how to memorize the books of the Bible, but also how to find those specific books in the Bible. You say, how'd she do it? She taught me a few books at a time. She would help me to memorize the names of books. Like she would say, let's start out with 4 or 5 books in the New Testament. So I learned Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And I would just say that repetitiously, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or John, Luke, Mark, Matthew, however you want to go, forward or backwards. But I got that ingrained in my head. And also I looked up in the Bible. Now, this is the New Testament books I'm talking about now. Matthew, I'd find out what that book looked like. I found out where it was in the Bible. Then I looked at the book of Mark and then Luke and John. I looked up verses in those different books, and I became acquainted with it. I don't know how long it took me to get acquainted with 4 books, but then she would add on some more books, and we would keep on going until I memorized all the books in the New Testament, and then we went to all the books in the Old Testament. I want to encourage you, if you really want to get into knowing the Lord, you've got to become acquainted with His Word, and it will save you a lot of time in looking things up. I know sometimes people go to the front of the Bible and go, okay, that's on page so-and-so, but just learning where the books of the Bible are. You say, I can't do that, I'm too old. No, you're never too old to learn what God wants you to learn, and you'll have the Spirit of God helping you to do such a thing as that. It's not hard. I know God gets tired of us saying, I can't, because of, and we fill in the blank. Well, just remember what the Apostle Paul said while he was in prison one day, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That could be a goal for you just for the next 3 months to learn all the books of the Bible. And when you do that, you could be of help to someone else to learn that same method. And I'll tell you, you're taking steps towards getting quicker into the Word of God every day instead of having to look page numbers up to get there. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that just starting out in life if you're a new Christian, but I challenge you. I want to give you a good challenge. I'm grateful. I'll never forget. It's kind of like learning to play the piano. My dad taught me how to play the piano when I was young, and he started off with middle C, and we would just play C, D, E, F, G, and then he would have me come back down G, F, E, D, C. And I just played that over and over and over and over, and I don't care where I go or how long it's been since I sat down to a piano to play. If someone said, where's the key of middle C, I know exactly where it's at. Why? Because of repetition. Any musician is like that. So it's discipline, but discipline's a good thing for all of us in life. Would you not agree? Okay, so here we go. I'm going to share with you the word, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Here's the truth about this matter of where would we begin and why should we begin listening to understanding the truth about knowing who the Lord really is. Verse 18, 2 Peter chapter 3, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, let me stop here for a minute and share with you that that is a present tense verb. You don't grow and then quit growing. We're constantly growing. When a baby is born, that baby is constantly growing. You're constantly growing today. You might not be growing in the direction you want to grow in, but we are continuously growing. And that's how we need to grow when we get into the Word of God. Because the Word of God is there to reveal to us the God of the Word. If you just read the Word of God without that heartfelt desire to know the God of the Word, you're missing out. Because the Word of God is not an end in itself. It's a springboard in leading us in how to know the Lord. Watch this. But continue growing, continue increasing, continue going forward in the grace and in the knowledge. There's the word right there. And that word means the personal knowledge, the personal relationship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep on growing. There you go. There's the truth right there in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. So we're getting into the Word of God and we're searching for truth in order to know Him deeper and to know Him fuller. So I'm listening for and I'm looking to read truth that will tell me who God is. Who is God to me and to you personally? Let's go to Psalm chapter 46, verse 1. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1. Several passages we're looking at today, but here in Psalm chapter 46 and verse 1, I want you to look at the first two words. Now remember, the theme of our study today is God is. Enough said. What does it say in Psalm 46, 1? God is. There it is right there. God is. Now you could stop there if you wanted to, but this chapter in the Bible is about to tell us who God is. God is our refuge, our strength, and an ever or very present help in time of trouble. Now notice what it says. These are three things that are declared about God, who He is. And if you read this correctly, it does not say God is refuge, God is strength, God is ever-present help in trouble. No, it says God is our refuge. When you come to know Him, you're going to find out how He manifests Himself to us to truly know who He is to us. Because this is the goal of the Word of God, to lead us to pursue a person, and that's God Himself. To lead us to pursue a person, to come to know Him personally. Now mark this down. And someone was sharing with me the other day that they heard this said on the podcast and they said they'd never thought about it before, but it really opened their eyes. And it's the biblical truth that the Lord is the one who has invited us to know Him. You and I didn't get up one morning and start deciding on our own, hey, I think this would be a great day to start learning about who God is. No. If that has ever happened in your life, it's because the Spirit of God created within you that desire. You and I are incapable of coming up with that desire on our own. Before Christ, we were spiritually dead. We're dead people walking. But when we got saved, we became alive to the things of God. And the Spirit of God moved into our life, and He is the one that leads us, guides us, and directs us in the way we ought to go. Okay? So the more you know the Lord, watch this, the calmer your spirit will be. Let me say that again. The more you come to know Him, the calmer your spirit will be, regardless of the trouble, the storms, the circumstances trying to threaten you or accuse you or lie to you. It's just the more you come to know Him, the more He magnifies Himself to you, that you start to see who He is for every situation that you face in your life. Now, I know that many people have relegated themselves to just saying, God, that's His name. Well, who is God to you personally? Oh, he's God. He's God. Well, what do you do when you get in a tight place? and you can't get out of that tight place on your own? What do you do when you get in a waiting room and no one's around? You're all alone. What do you do when trouble strikes? What do you do when sickness comes? What do you do when you lose your job? Well, I just call on God, I guess. No. No. We're stuck if that's what we're thinking about God and spending the rest of our days giving our attention to other things that we would rather pursue than Him. You see, the person that really begins a pursuit of God wants to know Him and how He manifests Himself to us in our life in every situation that we have to face. You say, why is He doing that? Because He is wanting us to come to Him about everything in life and to come to Him at the point of trust. Lord, I am trusting You in this situation for You to be my refuge. I'm trusting You because You tell me You are my strength. You are my strength. You're not just strength. You don't just give me strength. You are my strength. You are my refuge. You are the very present help in time of trouble. So He's trying to move us into that position, that place of absolute trust. Now, I was talking with an individual the other day, and they were sharing with me about how they're seeking to learn to trust God more in their life. They had gone through some dark times in their life, and they didn't know if they had disappointed God and let God down to the point that maybe God would not want to have anything to do with them anymore. And it took me back to something that Corrie Ten Boom years ago shared about when we get in those dark times and dark places. Listen to what she shared. She said, when a train you're on goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away the ticket and jump off the train. Rather, you sit still and you trust the engineer. Did you hear that? You sit still and you trust the engineer. Who is the engineer of your life? What's the engineer responsible for? To drive the train, to lead the train, to guide the train, to stay on the track, to get you from point A to point B. That's what this life of following Jesus and desiring and pursuing Him in our life is all about. It's all about trust, trust, trust. I just want to encourage you to do something in Psalm chapter 46 today. Circle the word God is. It does not say, and you don't find this anywhere in the Word of God, where it says God was or God will be. We serve a God who is the same today, yesterday, and forever. But do you believe that to the point that you trust in Him and you're crying out to Him, as the old song says, oh, for grace to trust You more every day in our life? God is. When the Lord revealed Himself to Moses out in the wilderness, how did He reveal Himself to Moses? He said, Moses, I am. You go back and you tell Pharaoh, I am. You go back and tell the people, I am. Don't tell them I was. That wouldn't make any sense to anyone. If I heard what was, but not what is, well, all hope is gone. All hope is lost. No, the Lord says, I am. Now listen to this. When the Word of God says, God is, and when God Himself says, I am, you know what you can say? You are. You are. Let's go over to the book of Psalms. We're in the Psalms right now. Let's go back to chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18. Just a few chapters back, but while you're turning there, I want to share with you something that happened in my life about 3 weeks ago. Maybe this will help some folks who at nighttime have a hard time when you lay down going right to sleep. Your mind's wandering. Your mind's racing 1,000 miles an hour. You're thinking about what happened today, what might happen during the night in your home if little children wake up or someone were to get sick or if the phone rings at 2 in the morning. Or if you have to get up early for an appointment, what happens if the alarm doesn't go off or you sleep right through the alarm or what's going to happen tomorrow? A lot of us go to bed like that. And let me share one more thing with us. A lot of people go to bed and they get into bed and they've either got the TV running or they've got their phone or their iPad or the computer opened up, and we are searching and we are scanning and we are opening apps and news sites and text and emails and watching anything and everything you can find as far as videos, YouTube, or live TV programs, or sports events. We could go on forever, but when we're trying to settle down at night, all that stuff is going on, and it's having an effect on our mind. It's having an effect on our brain. Literally, it's proven. It's having an effect on our eyes, our thoughts, our reflexes. Just go on and on and on. So I'll be honest with you. I have struggled with that. Because when I finally, after about a 16, 17 hour day, I find myself in the bed and I go, I just need to do something to wind down. And I get caught doing a lot of those things. And guess what? By the time I get through with them, I'm wound up. I've got 10 more things that go into my mind that I start thinking about. Turn out the light and I'm just laying there. And you start tossing and turning. Then you start this process of, do I get up? Do I turn the light back on? Do I start reading something? What do I do? We go on and on and on and on and on. We need our rest. And I just started praying and asking the Lord for help. I needed God's help on what to do so I could rest in peace and go to bed thinking about Him and not having my mind cluttered with all of this other junk that does not need to be there when we're trying to rest. So after praying for a number of days about that, all I can share with you is this is how it personally happened in my life. I sensed the Lord speaking to me deep in my heart and sharing with me, why don't you get a Bible and put a Bible on your night table? And instead of doing all that stuff before you go to bed, why don't you be still and open the Word of God and just read my Word and then turn out the light without getting back into all that other stuff? This is just a personal testimony. I've been trying to get into the discipline of doing that at night, and the nights that that has happened, I can only tell you that in the quietness of the bedroom, and by the way, I learned for me, myself, and I, don't get your pillows too comfortable in the bed, because about the time I start getting comfortable in the bed, before I know it, I'm looking at the back of my eyelids, and then I wake up and I go, where am I? What did I just do? Oh no, Bible's laying in my lap. I had to have a way to stay awake long enough. And I'm not talking about 2 or 3 hours. I'm talking about 5, 10, 12 minutes. Whatever the Lord leads you to do. Now, maybe you can prop yourself up in the bed and not go to sleep. I'm just sharing with you personal experience what happened to me, and I needed help. So it was kind of like, why don't you sit on the edge of the bed? So that's what I started doing this week. I started sitting on the edge of the bed, opening the Word of God, and in the quietness of that bedroom, letting God's Word wash over my life. I'll give an example of one thing that I read. I read through in 2 nights Psalm 19 because I wanted to read those words slowly. But the second night I was reading through the end of Psalm 19, I came to these words. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock. Now there's a description. There's a magnification of who the Lord is. O Lord, you are my rock. Secondly, you're my redeemer. But my eyes got caught on those words, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Have you ever thought about the words you speak being pleasing in the sight of the Lord? You ever found yourself meditating, musing on the things of the past day or things people said to you, or you're thinking what they were trying to get across to you, maybe in a subtle way, but that kind of stuff gets in our mind and we start meditating a lot. Sometimes meditation gets into a big mess because we start imagining things. That's the enemy coming and he's trying to explode these things in our mind. And we start this, what if they meant this? What if they said that? What if they looked at me that certain way for a reason? What? And then that gets our mind going. So just thinking, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. And I started praying that through. Oh Lord, that's where I want to be. It wasn't chance that the Lord led me to that verse that night. So I got through. I put the Bible on the dresser next to the bed, turned out the light, and I just fell asleep. But the next morning when I woke up, now remember, the Word of God talks about how the Word washes us. God's Word washes us. It's like getting all the muck and the mire off of us and out of our minds, out of our hearts, getting pure, holy before God, getting our sins confessed, forgiving people, repenting of whatever we need to repent of, whatever He calls to our hearts and our minds. But the next morning I woke up. Do you know what caught my heart and mind the very first moment my body awakened and my mind got to going? Psalm 19 and verse 14. The very first thing before I ever got out of the bed, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, that morning I got tested because I started thinking about things that I was saying or about to say. And then I started thinking, and I started thinking that someone had done something to try to get a point across to me in my life. And I mean, that thought just took off. You ever had a thought like that just take off, and it gets your mind just a racing 1,000 miles an hour? Was it true? I didn't know if it was true or not, but my mind was saying, it's true, it's true, it's true. And God bless my wife. She could tell something was going on, and I shared something with her, and I talked to her a little bit about it, and finally she said, Mark, you need to shut that out of your mind. She didn't know what I'd read the night before. She said, you need to get rid of that, shut that out of your mind, and get your mind on what it needs to be on today. Now, I know how we are with each other as couples. You know, one spouse tries to share something with another spouse out of love, but we go, oh, who are you to say that to me? I didn't say that to her, but then it hit me in my heart. You know what? Lord, you sent her. Lord, you brought her back here into this room to hear me speak those words to get my mind back on track so I could get over to the church and get into my study time without all of that going on. I'm just sharing with you, that's how God's Word wants to work in our life. You ought to try it. It could change the way you are living. But here we are in Psalm 18. This is just another example of what we're talking about. Look in Psalm 18 and verse 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Now, this was the passage I was reading last night. I love you, O Lord, my strength. And that caught my heart in the quietness in that bedroom. I love you, O Lord. And I found myself sitting there being drawn to the Lord and speaking to Him and saying, Lord, I love you too. I love you, Lord. When's the last time? When's the last time that you told the Lord? I mean, you told Him. Not you thought it, but you told Him. Lord, I love you. I didn't add anything on, though the verse had more words after that. I just wanted to tell the Lord, I love you, Lord. What did Jesus teach us? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, mind, and strength. We exemplify our love for Him by having Him involved in all of those areas in our life. But I love you, O Lord. And then I saw it. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Lord, you're my strength. Think about that. I am weak at times in my life. O Lord, you are my strength. You see what's happening? The Lord, again, He's pulling us closer to Him. He wants us to see Him as our strength instead of, I'll be strong. I can handle this on my own. I don't need anybody's help, much less God's help. I've got enough experience under my belt. I can handle this. God, forgive us for feeling like that in our life, for thinking that, for saying that. I love you, O Lord, for you are my strength. And I kept reading, the Lord is my rock. You're a rock in my life. You're like a rock that nobody can move. You are my rock. You are my foundation. What's the foundation of your life? Who is the foundation of your life? The Lord says, I'm your rock. Jesus talked about in Matthew 7 about building your house, your life on the rock or building it on the sand. And He tells us the outcome of both. Oh Lord, you are my fortress. A fortress is that place of safety where the enemy can't get in. The Lord is our fortress. I mean, the enemy's coming after us day in and day out. The Word of God teaches us that. Why should we be surprised? But when you are pursuing the Lord, when that's the greatest purpose in your life, to know Him, you get to know Him as your fortress. Look at the third thing. You get to know Him as your deliverer. You get to know Him again as your rock. You get to know Him as the one that you take refuge in. And you get to know Him as your shield. You know, in the Word of God, it talks to us in Ephesians chapter 6 about the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. You got fiery darts being shot at you every day from the enemy. But it's that shield of faith, and that's the Lord Himself. And He's the horn of our salvation. The horn of our salvation, that word horn means the strength of our salvation. And then He says, you are my stronghold. In Bible days, that was a place of protection. This is who God is. He's not just God. This is who God is. He's saying, I am the I am. I will be who you need me to be when you need me to be it. And in this situation, the psalmist was telling us all of these attributes of the Lord. And if you'll look at it this way, he's not just saying, I love you, O Lord, and then he leaves that and goes on to other things. He's saying, I love you, O Lord, you are my strength. He magnifies who the Lord is. You're getting deeper and deeper and deeper with Him. You're getting to know Him more and more and more when you learn who the Lord is and who He will be when you need Him to be it. That covers everything that you will ever face in your life. Name me one thing that you so far in your life have faced that the Lord was not strong enough to deal with that. Through one of these names that describes Him. You say, Mark, how would I ever learn all that about who He is to me in my life? Only one way. You're going to have to get alone with Him and get in a position to hear from Him. I'll sum it up like this, and this will close us out for today. But as I'm going along and learning more and more about knowing the Lord, I mean really knowing Him, boy, has my life been changed. When I really came to believe that that is His greatest desire that He wants for my life, to know Him. There cannot be anything in your life as a Christ follower more important than this. So I started writing down words of what it means in knowing Him personally. So what am I saying to Him as I'm listening to Him and following Him, tuning in to what He has to say to my life and teach me and lead me and all the other? So I wrote these words down. Maybe they would be of help to you. When I'm on this journey pursuing Him, it means I'm wanting to know Him. I'm wanting to pursue Him. I'm wanting to walk with Him. I'm wanting to please Him. I'm wanting to love Him. I'm wanting to follow Him. I'm wanting to fellowship with Him. I'm wanting to listen to Him. I want to be obedient to Him. I want to praise Him. I want to thank Him. I want to talk to Him. I want to pay attention to Him. And more than anything, I want to obey Him. For you see, I'm discovering more and more every day, and I know many of you are too, is that, as the song says, He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. That the Lord Jesus said, you're to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then He turns around and He says to us, guess what? You love me like that, you're going to find out I'm all you need. Who wants to live that kind of life as a Christ follower? I'm trusting that you're going to realize inside of your being that it's the Spirit of God that is drawing you to the Lord Himself. Answer the call while He's still knocking. Thank you, Lord, for this day, this truth, this drawing that you're doing within our lives, showing us in the simplicity of the Word of God how the psalmist expressed who you are, not just calling you God, but identifying who you are as God to us, that we can see this day that God is. Not that you were, not that you will be, but you are. That's what we need. We can't go out into the future, and we sure can't revert to the past, but we are living today. We need the God who is today, who we need you to be, and you have promised to be the I Am God in our life until you bring us home. We thank you and bless your name. And greatest of all today, I pray for every one of us that we will trust you more. For you have promised us that you will show us the path of life, and you have promised us that in your presence is fullness of joy. We get outside of your presence, there's emptiness of joy, but in your presence is where the fullness of joy is. So may we press on and finish strong. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
You've been listening to There Is a Hope, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Mark Howard, pastor of Christ Community Church in Bells, Tennessee. You can hear Dr. Howard every week right here on this podcast, where he'll be sharing a new message from God's Word that centers in the hope that you can find for your daily life in Jesus Christ. Should you have any questions about today's program or desire to share any prayer needs so that someone might pray for you this week, you may write us at There Is a Hope, P.O. Box 610, Bells, Tennessee, 38006. Or you may contact us by email at thereisahope@cccbells.net. And above all, it's our prayer that you remember that regardless of what you're facing in life today, there has been, there is, and there always will be a hope in Jesus.